Hello everyone and welcome to a special edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast. I'm Andy Warren and I'm joined by sports writer Mike Bacon. Hello Mike.
Hi, how are you Andy?
Yeah, very well. We are also joined by a man who made 546 appearances in English football, 193 of those for Ipswich Town, won 90 caps for Trinidad and Tobago and played at the 2006 World Cup. That's Carlos Edwards.
Okay, thank you very much for all that introduction.
Is that correct?
Yeah, most of it.
Yeah?
No, it is correct, spot on there.
That's an impressive career, Carlos. A lot of good stuff there.
You know, everything sometimes, when you do go back in the Wikipedia and you check at it and stuff, you don't realise that the career that you had until it's there in front of you.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I've enjoyed every aspect of it, every minute of it, so...
And you're back here in Ipswich now.
What a surprise. Yeah, I'm actually here. It was a decision that was made, obviously, not just by myself, but obviously with the family. You know, being here for 5 years, it's part of home for me. And it was actually no-brainer for me to move back. I did try to go back to Trinidad for a bit to see if I could have... You know, make the transition after being in England for such quite a long time, but it wasn't to be. It's something that I regretted, and here I am today back in Ipswich Town.
Trinidad sounds quite nice, doesn't it, Mike? Looking out the window.
Well,
here.
I must confess. You know, if I had my choice of Trinidad or Ipswich, but no, there's obviously good reasons you're here, Carlos. You loved your time here, and you're very popular.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a shame, but. You know, after, you know, leaving Trinidad at such quite a young age and then coming back, you know, coming to England and to display your talent and stuff, and then trying to go back to try to gel back in, it's definitely going to be hard. But obviously I never thought of it, you know, sat down and really put my head around it to see. But you do make mistakes and you do learn from it. So, you know, it was one of those decisions that I did regret. And, you know, I'm back here and could be a sign of relief, even though I don't have much of sunshine. But, you know,
sunshine, you know, bring us some sunshine.
You know, you can't always get what you wish for, so...
And one of the reasons you're here, but talking about a bit of sunshine, we'll talk about your career as we go along in Ipswich Town and stuff, but... You're back here in Ipswich and you're helping out a local football club, Woodbridge Town.
Yeah.
You're going to do a bit of coaching and playing for them. Well, tell us about that, Carlos. How did that come about?
Yeah, obviously, Dan, who's one of my good
Dan
friends.
Daly.
Yeah, for such a, you know, I know Dan for maybe 8-9 years now. And, you know, obviously I didn't know at first that he was involved with Woodbridge and until, you know, I spoke to him and he was like, you know, come on board and, you know, do a few things. And I was like, you know what, fair enough, I'm just sitting at home on my bum, you know, ain't really doing much. And I decided, at the same time, it's a good opening way for me to get back into the coaching and to, you know, try to help the local lads, because, you know, I went and saw the guys and they play a couple of weeks back, and I'm thinking, these guys, and they, even though it's a low division, you can still see these guys and they're passionate about what they do, and obviously they have the talent, and it's only a matter of time until maybe one or two of them break into, you know, maybe a League One, League Two team, you know, and try to do it as, because these guys are taking their time to maybe from work, from school, because there's a few young lads to come and obviously play, and if they can do that, I don't see why they can't maybe step up a division or two and you know, try to, you know, do something with their career if they are passionate enough to want to go the extra distance. But I'm here and I'm going to, obviously at the same time I'm going to be playing, but with the intention of trying to help these guys. You know, I'm not going to be there to obviously try to put pressure on these guys. I know some of them feel a bit intimidated by me. You know, you can see it sometimes. Even though some of them, I do speak to some of them to try, you know, watching the game, and I do try to encourage them to do certain things, because it's easy for us as bystanders, outside supporters, it's easy to watch a game to say, oh, you could have done this, you could have done that. But when you're at that spur of the moment, when you're on the pitch, it's you only seen it in like a little eye of a needle. So, you know, by me trying to encourage these guys and doing certain things, you can see that they're a bit relaxed now. So it's good for me in that way. And Jamie and Snelly and the guys, and they encourage me to speak to the guys. Because even though you say something to some of these guys, I think they still look at Snelly and Jamie as maybe more, you know, not being disrespectful, more like a friend kind of situation. But with me, being new to the club, they obviously being an ex-professional player, they will more look at me like he knows what he's talking about. I don't want the guys in there to forget what Snelly and Jamie's been.
Because Jamie Scales and Glenn Snell, the manager.
You know,
team,
and these guys have been saying to them all these years.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah,
magic wand.
I know, here I come, and then everybody's on their high heels, like, you know, like soldiers being, oh, Carlos said this, Carlos said, no, just be yourself, just be normal, just continue doing, because they're unbeaten. So whatever these guys have been doing thus far,
it's been good.
It's been good.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, they pick the team. And they put the trust into the players that goes out onto that pitch to get the result. It may not be the best result, but at the end of the day, they go and work their socks off. So, you know, it's something good. And I'm glad to be part of it. I hope long may it continue. I hope I don't jinx it.
No, they're doing very well. I can vouch as a Woodbridge coach, they're doing very well, Carlos. Yeah. But you're only gonna add to, I'm absolutely sure. And it's great, and I just think it's great for local football that, you know, guys like yourself, you know, you look at that level and you want to do something to help it, and you enjoy it, and that's good. That's great. I think that's a lot of ex-pros could, you know, take a lot from that. And
it's something that I always wanted to do, passionate about. Obviously, my missus always drill me, you know, fair play to her, because if she don't give me the kick up the bum, you know, I would be, you know, the individual that I am today. So, you know, fair play to her, you know, but that she just gives me that extra spark when it comes to things that she knows I'm capable of doing. And, you know, and it's I think it's a bit unfair. It would be unfair to me that me having such a long career that I can't give back something to, you know, to. I think it would be a bit selfish on my part. And I mean, I learn something every day, even at the age of 39, going on 26. But you know, but you learn something every day, regardless if it's on the pitch, off the pitch, you know. And these guys are guys who will someday, you know, I do hope that some of them do get the opportunity to establish themselves and to further their career. But only time will tell.
Yeah.
You've not played a game yet, but that sounds like it's coming soon. What are you expecting from that level of football there?
You know what? Looking at the game on the weekend, obviously, you know, you play against different opponents and different guys from different backgrounds, strengths and weaknesses. But I look at every game as a, and I take it very seriously, regardless, because you can walk out on a pitch. When you underestimate teams and you get a bit too cocky, that's when things would switch. So I'm going into the game regardless to say, listen, if I don't get my finger out, I can be battered. So you have to take things in a perspective and put things in perspective that you say, listen, I'm going out there with a winning attitude, because no one wants to go out and pitch and lose again, unless you're match fixing or something like that. You know? But I think 99.9% of the times, everybody wants to win the game, and I think these guys are going about it the right way. So I'm going there. Obviously, I'm eager to play. I really want to play because, you know, even though I can play on the weekend gone, obviously I was still amongst the mix with the guys doing the warm-up and just doing, getting a kick about with them. So that's good for me, just to get a feel of these guys. I mean, it's easy to watch them, you know, do the warm-up and practice, but being among them and doing, obviously, you can see the guys and, you know, obviously, everybody need a little fine-tuning, You know, some of them a bit rusty because obviously it's hard sometimes. You work in a 9-to-5 job and then have to come and train. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I've never done it before, but you know, just looking about it, it's absolutely hard because these things it's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, we as professional footballers, we moan to train for 1.5-2 hours. Much less these guys working from 9-to-5 and then have to come and train for maybe an hour, hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
I mean, fair play to them.
And some of them, of course, a lot of them have evening games where they travel off. I mean, I know. I think this week, I mean, Needham Market, who are a local team, you know, they're down at Margate, down in Kent tonight, or one night this week.
I don't know how they do it.
You know, so a lot of the guys will be working, leaving off work at 3 o'clock, jumping in a car, driving to Margate.
It's hard. It's hard. So fair play to these guys. Yeah. And I get a tap on the back. I just say, phew.
It's a long way from Trinidad.
Yeah.
And you start off at Wrexham. Now, how on earth did a lad from Trinidad end up in North Wales? I mean, I can understand sort of he ended up in London, but to North Wales. So you obviously played football in Trinidad, Carlos, and then the call came to Wrexham.
I mean, I don't know if you guys know, or, you know, a lot of people know. Obviously, I was from college, I was in the military.
All right.
Yeah, I was in the military for maybe 2.5-3 years from leaving college. I mean, it wasn't compulsory that we, you know, as a young lad, you go in, but I think I was a bit trigger happy at the time. I just wanted to shoot guns and stuff. But no, I think one of my good friends who I went to college with, obviously his dad was the brigadier. And obviously we used to play football for the college, and he was like, "You're going to come into the military?" I was like, "Hell no." Hell no. And then, you know, you're saying certain things, and then when that time comes, and then my coach of the military, of the college, he, one day I was in bed. I could remember, like, if it was yesterday, I was in bed, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm hearing the beeping of a horn. I'm thinking, who the hell is outside my house at this hour? And I went, and he's there. Get changed, let's go. And I'm like, get changed, go what? And he had a note on the base. And I'm like, what? He said, get changed. So I got changed, and I went going down there, and I'm thinking, I'm seeing all these recruits, and I'm the only one with a big beard, a big goatee, and these guys are like convicts, all their hair is absolutely skin-like, proper bald head, and I'm thinking, what the hell? And he's like, yeah, you're there. And then the rest is history. And I can always say, and I will always vow for that it was one of the best decisions I've made in, not just in my football career, but in my whole life.
Yeah.
It made me into this person that I have this don't quit attitude, that regardless of what you've been put through and the things that you've been, I mean, I always say that there is always someone else worse off than you, regardless. So, you know, and from playing for the military team, obviously I made my debut for Trinidad, playing for the military team, and my mate who was in the military, he left and went to Crewe Alexandra. That's Clayton Ince, goalkeeper. Yeah. So Clayton, his agent, obviously an English guy, Mike Berry, he's from Liverpool, he came to Trinidad. He asked Clayton if there was any players that he can recruit from Trinidad that he thinks could make it in England. And Clayton, fair enough, put my name forward, and he made a trip to Trinidad. And I remember the game, I was having a nightmare of a game, honestly. But the only thing I've done, I put one in the top bin from about 25 yards. That's the only thing I've done in the game. Yeah. And obviously he saw clips, and he asked me, obviously, if I wanted to come to England, you know. And I was like, yeah, hell yeah. In December of 98, I came to England for the first time. Freezing cold.
Off the plane. Yeah.
Freezing cold.
Off the plane in your shorts.
Right, yeah. And I went to, and obviously it's up north, does it? So it's even worse.
Yeah.
It's raining. Into Manchester, and I walked out of the Manchester airport, and I'm thinking, what the hell? Like, and then, you know, had a 3-week trial at Wrexham. They were interested, but at the same time, obviously I had to do the criteria with the work permits and certain things. It took them 6 months, and I signed a 3-year contract with Wrexham. The the following year of, I think it was 2000, or, yeah.
Played a lot of games for Wrexham.
Yeah,
four and a bit.
I had a serious ACL injury that kept me out for quite a substantial time for one season, but obviously it's you know, at most clubs you get people taking over clubs, and you know, for the first 2 years it was really great with Brian Flynn as manager, and obviously he left and other people took over, Dennis Smith, and the new chairman was just a right idiot, you know, sorry to say, but he was a right idiot. You know, he used to provoke the fans. You know, thinking as a chairman you want the fans on your butt. He used to provoke the fans. The fans used to go to his house and they used to, honestly, they wanted him out of the house so bad that they used to cause him so much grief, and he used to threaten the fans. And it's just a, my last year of my contract, obviously they did offer me in last year, but obviously I think I had enough and I just needed a new change. Obviously Luton came in.
Luton Town, yeah, that was your next port of call.
That was up to the Championship, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Luton won the League One title the year before, the season before. Mike Newell was the manager. Crazy guy. I had some managers in my time, so.
We'll get on to a few more of those later, I'm sure.
And then one thing obviously led to the next. You know, I was there for a year and a half. I had a great first season. Obviously Luton had a great, I think we finished like 8th or 9th in our first season. And then everything everything just went from bad, well, from good, bad, worse, because I think in consecutive years they got relegated, like bang bang bang, straight down. They sold all their players, they never invested back, you know, and I mean they did recruit a few quid from selling players, but they never, you know, invest back into the club. And you know, I think they only now start back kind of
Luton are now making a bit of a comeback.
A lot of goals.
It's nice to see though. Luton Town, I remember playing Ipswich Town many years back in the old Division Ones. I mean, they were a good side for many years, Luton, and then so it was a few years at Luton and up north to Sunderland
back up north,
Mr. Keane.
I remember. Cause, to be fair, when I was at Luton, we played against Sunderland, you know, at Stadium of Light, and obviously we absolutely terrorised it. It wasn't having the best season. I think Roy had just taken over. Obviously, I think when he took over, they were like 15th or something on the table, really struggling. And in the end, obviously, we played them at Stadium of Light. They scored in the last minute. They lost. We lost 2-1. Obviously, and to be fair, we were the better team, but. Goals with matches. And I remember Dwight York. Dwight was there. Obviously Dwight is my countryman, and after the game he was like, "You fancy coming to Sunderland?" So I was like, "Yeah, why not?" And I was like, "I ain't gonna say no, you know." And then he was like, "Leave it to me, I'll something will be sorted." And we played Cardiff. And this was just before Christmas when we played Sunderland. And at the time, obviously, you know, as players, I'm enjoying my football. So the last thing on my mind is players coming in, teams, clubs coming in to put by you and transfer. The last thing on my mind. So we played Cardiff at home at Carrington Road on the 1st of January, on New Year's Day, as a Monday, if I could remember. And driving home, we drew 0-0 driving home. My agent phoned me. I said, "Did you get any news?" I was like, no news. He said, "I'll phone you back." As soon as I hung, obviously the chairman, chief executive, phoned me and said, "Oh, you need to make your way to Sunderland tomorrow morning to do a medical." And I'm thinking, Sunderland? So I sat Googling, where the hell is Sunderland? How far? Because I knew I just came from there. But, you know, I was sleeping maybe half the way on the coach. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, this is like 4.5-5 hours drive. Like, I'm thinking, Jesus. So, honestly, went there, Obviously, I didn't even know that they, you know, were bidding over my head. I think apparently Burnley had come in for me before, but obviously Sunderland put in a bit more. And I signed on, I think the second or the third I signed of January 2007. So it was, you know, and the rest is history, to be fair. You know, honestly, it was one of the best times of my career.
You enjoyed that, did you?
Oh, my God. Honestly, it's like, you know, it's one of those, you know, you always know when you get good feedback from fans and, you know, they cherish what you've done for the club, you know, and stuff. And when you get that kind of feedback, you know to yourself that, you know what, it was worth it, you know, the decision to go, you know, as I always do. I mean, yes, I do. I did have crappy games, which footballer don't, but I think it's human nature sometimes when they only sometimes look at the bad games that you play and not the good games. You know, it's natural. Yeah. But I enjoyed every minute. I think all the clubs that I played at first you don't know what to expect, but as soon as you start playing and you get into it, it's like, ooh, yeah, you know.
How did you find Mr. Keane?
Here we go.
Good. I'll just say, you gotta choose your words wisely when you're trying to describe the individual. He's a good man. He's a good man. Great player in his time. I think his biggest downfall was he intimidates a lot of people, a lot of players. I think, for me, he didn't intimidate me. I think in the way that I think how the individual that I am today, I don't let too much people intimidate me, in the sense of I came to do a job for you. I will try to do it to my best ability. It may not be pleasing to you, certain things I'm doing, because I have to improvise. Things might not go the way that you want it, but I think he used to take things a bit too personal with players, and he's take it to a different level. So hence the reason I think a lot of players didn't want to play for him, because they think if they made a mistake, it's like the end of the world. They're going to get punished by the school teachers, like, you know, walking around headmaster, you know, walk around with a ruler or a stick, like, don't go there. So it was a kind of a bittersweet. At Sunderland, he was a bit more conservative at Sunderland, when I think he was dealing with a bit more personalities, bigger personalities. So he couldn't have stamped his authority in the way that he would intimidate certain people. So he had a lot of senior players. So he used to let the senior players deal with whatever is going on in the change room. Unless he has to, as a manager, he has to intervene, he would. But he would leave it up to the senior players to do whatever is necessary to get control of the changing room. At Ipswich, it was totally different. Obviously, he had a lot of players who he brought in, a lot of players who was there before, who he wanted to get rid of, that he couldn't get rid of, that he started treating them in different, you know, very strange. For me, I think it was a bit silly in the way that he treated and spoke to some of the players. You know, there's certain things I won't say, but certain things that were said, and when you do reflect on it, you're thinking, this man is crazy. Because why would you say certain things to players? We're already down in the dump. You're already down. You cannot kick a player while he's down. You need to put, in modern day football, you need to put an arm around the player. Speak to a player. Some players might react better if you give them a bollocking. Some players will react better if you put arm around them. Not everyone you can absolutely go and just shout and scream and kick stuff down, and you know. So I think he went about that the wrong way. If he learned from it, I don't know. I'm hoping that he has. because obviously he's dealing with much more senior players now with Republic of Ireland, so he may have changed a bit, but you never know what you're going to get from Mr. Roy Keane.
But he obviously liked you because he brought you to Portman Road, and Roy didn't sign players. You know, he knew what he liked.
Yeah, I mean, to
knew who he trusted, and it started a 5-year career here in a place you now sort of call home.
Yeah, I mean, it was, to be fair, when I first signed for him, I was like, you know, I was a bit intimidated because he's obviously he's Roy Keane, obviously. Manchester United legend, captain, you know, you're thinking, why? You got to be, you know. And then obviously, knowing Dwight for all the years playing with the Trinidad team, and you get in little stories when we're in the changing room or in the hotels, and he's telling you about what Roy used to do and say. You're thinking, bloody hell, you got your work. I got my workouts out here. But then, I think, with the winning nature that he had as a player, obviously, I knew that he wanted to bring that into the town. Obviously, he had it at Sunderland. He went from 15th in the table in December to absolutely winning the league. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there's going to be another team in a hurry that is going to go from 15th in December to actually winning the championship.
Absolutely. You know?
And the championship is only getting harder and harder. Yeah. To be fair, it's getting really difficult. So. For him to do that, fair play, you know, it was honestly a remarkable season.
Mm.
And I know he wanted to bring that into the town, but I think he went about it in a very rash way. Like, you know, he didn't sit down and he didn't say, all right, I'm going to get these players, I'm going to get that players. I think he wanted to get players, like, on the spot, like, get this player, get that player, and not actually sit down and say, okay, I'm going to form a base of a squad here. We have two players for each department or whatever. Mm. You might have a utility player who can play in any position. I don't think he's done that. He just obviously, okay, I'm going to get this player because this player is not playing for his club, so I'm going to get him, But not necessarily that player is going to fit into the playing style that the rest of players who is at town going to play, because you can see it even now. You know, it's have certain times you look at the town player, you're thinking he's not that type of player. He can play somewhere else. So I think that was one of his biggest downfall, that he never actually, and I think the pressure got to him, and hence the reason why he had to leave. It was a surprise at first when he actually left Sunderland, because you're thinking, okay, we give it another go. But I think he packed it in too early for me. I think he maybe was a bit scared. He left on a kind of high kind of way. So
I think Ipswich fans, I remember the time when Roy came here, I think it was a big thing. I mean, for the town to get a manager the status of Roy Keane. I remember being in the first press conference when he was introduced, and it was just like a Hollywood star had walked in. It wasn't any ordinary press conference. And I think a lot of Ipswich town fans desperately wanted it to work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they would love to have had Roy Keane as manager for 10 years and bring
there was a feeling, wasn't there, this is it now.
Yeah.
He's here. It's going to happen now.
So I think actually the town was quite sad that it didn't work out as much as Roy probably was, and everyone else. It was a shame.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes as players, you do have to take certain responsibility. You do. I mean, at the end of the day, we all know we've been around long enough that the finger is going to point one way.
Yeah.
You know, the manager. But players need to take a bit of responsibility for their actions and certain things that they do, because, as I said before in the interview, obviously the manager is putting trust in these 11 players that he's picking, and he's, you know, you can only go out there and try to do your best, and if you're not week in, week out, obviously he will have to make changes, you know. So as players, you do have to take certain aspects and say, you know what, put your hands up. I'm first enough. If I'm rubbish, if I lose a game, listen, trust me, my missus cannot speak to me. Obviously, I'm being harsh, but
I
know sometimes she get in a hump with me. Like, don't take your frustration out. It's not that I'm taking my, just leave me in my zone.
Yeah.
Let me reflect on it. Cause especially if I have a rubbish game and we lose, boy, you don't want to see me.
No.
I mean, I might be in a tub somewhere, just underneath the water, drowning myself or something like that. So, but it's good that you know, he had the opportunity, and I would have, as you said before, I would have loved it to see it worked and work in a way that, you know, he could have take the club to another level.
But it didn't.
It didn't.
Paul Jewell
didn't.
Came in.
Paul, yeah.
Carlos Edwards is captain of Ipswich Town as well. You're given that responsibility.
I know.
And it's funny because I did a story recently saying about you coming back to Woodbridge, you know, and I had loads of feedback. Yeah. Carlos Edwards, he was my favourite player. Oh, yeah. I loved Carlos. I loved lots of people contact saying, what's this about Carlos? He's back in town. You had a good, you've got a great rapport with it. You played more games for Ipswich Town than you did anyone else, Carlos, and a great rapport with the fans.
No, it's good, in a way. And as I said before, it's good when you get these feedback because, you know, obviously you're not going to please everyone. You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you get those kind of feedbacks, you do feel a bit, you know, relief and stuff like that. But, you know, looking back at it, it was good because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, obviously, when I first came and I'm thinking, obviously, what to expect. And obviously, it's a good bunch of lads. And we have a good laugh for the years. And obviously, going through a certain spell, you know, we had bad times, we were looking down on the barrel, it was good times, we had a nice cup run going to the semi-finals, you know. So we did have a good, you know, good times. But then obviously all the bad times start overwhelming all the good times. Mm. But it's as I said, it's human nature. So it's, for me, I loved it. I wish I could have had a bit longer. You know, unfortunately, things didn't work out. Obviously, you do have to move on in your career, and I did relish my time. Even as I said to you earlier downstairs, we were then obviously I went to watch the Derby game, Derby County, and one of the fans was like, "Any chance of you coming back and play? Any chance of you coming back and play fullback? Because we have no one going forward." And I'm thinking, I said to him. So I went downstairs to have a cup of tea, and then I was coming back up, and he went, "You're going the wrong way. So we're going back down." I said, "Next game, don't worry, next game." So it's good in a way that people do see you still as, you know, I think I could still do a job.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be able to bomb forward as much as I could, you know.
Yeah.
But
whether you could bomb back, it might be a different thing.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So it's good. And I do enjoy every single aspect of it, especially when the fans are coming up to you to say certain things. You do, you know, try to, you know, say, yeah, you know, it's good. Sometimes I try hiding myself, walking through the crowd, obviously. Because I just go, obviously, call the guys up and get a few tickets. I don't like going into the director's box. I like to be a bit more discreet, being in with the fans.
But being captain, Carlos, is no mean feat. Managers don't pick captains, you know, willy-nilly. And you know, Paul obviously is an experienced manager as well. I mean, you know, that must be quite an honour to be chosen. Was Ipswich Town the only captaincy you had, or did you have been captain?
Yeah, Ipswich Town was the only captaincy that I had. And obviously I relished the opportunity, to be fair. I'm not the most vocal on the field, but what I bring a kind of sense of calmness with the lads. Like, you know, obviously I'll have a bite because some guys might need a kick.
Mm.
And I will have a bit of bite, but it's nothing too malice about it. It's something that, you know, that we say, "Listen, hey, you need to pull your finger out because, you know, it's been happening one too many times, and you better play." I'm just giving them that assurance that, "Listen, roll your sleeve up. Let's, you know, let's give a go. We under par at the moment, so we need to, you know, get things in order." So I think, even when he look at it, obviously I was one of the most senior players at the time. There were certain players, I think Grant was a captain before me. But Grant's head was already twisted to leave. Mm. So obviously it's make no sense to give in a guy who's gonna be, his head is already in somewhere else, that it's just not gonna justify him being captain at a club where it didn't look like he wanted to be, you know. So I was given the responsibility and I took it. And I think the guys, and they did enjoy me being captain. I mean, they used to take the mick out of me a bit. They said, they used to try. You know, off the pitch, in the changing room, you can do what you want. You can say what you want about me.
Yeah.
When I'm on that pitch, all smiles off. I'm not going to hammer anyone or anything like that, but I just used to give them that, hey, enjoy the game. That's the most important. Put a smile on your face, you know. If you're not enjoying the game, then you're having a rubbish game.
Yeah.
Simple as it is. If you're enjoying the game, then
you're having a good game.
You're having a good game, you know. So I used to tell them, hey, relax, just, you know, just who's that? You know, just, you know, chill yourself and just, you know, just go there. And I mean, if you run for, if you're tired at 60, 70 minutes, you're tired, put your hand up. That's why the subs are on the pitch, you know. The manager would have to change it up or so. And I think, but the thing about it, things never used to go our way all the time. And even though we had a good squad, but, you know, it's just, I think there was a bit too much, this player go in, that player come in. I think at one stage we had too many lone players.
Right.
That, I think, was a bit of a killer, because I think some of the players that we actually brought in, for me, we had players at the same quality. Now, what's the sense you're going to pay 10 million for a player and I have you who can do the same thing that I'm paying 10 million for? I'm 10 million quid down, you know? So I think some of the signing may be a bit personality-wise, not to benefit on the field, you know. But who's to say, you know? I was just a player, so I had to look at it as a player perspective. You know, I'm not up in the boardroom, you know, deciding who player to bring in and who player to get rid of. So
Richie Wellens was quite vocal about that by the end, wasn't by the, this is getting to the end of Paul.
Yeah.
I think Richie Wellens was quite vocal about some players not caring as much.
But at one stage you could have seen that. Obviously, I wasn't the one to go and, as they call it, bird and stool to managers. It's not me.
No.
If for me as a captain, if I see certain things, I would go and to the gaffer and say, gaffer, listen, I think the change room is a bit too rowdy, too, you know, splitting. So what you think it could do? Me, from what I learned in my career, obviously with being at Sunderland and being at Luton, is like team bonding is such a good thing. On and off the pitch is such a good thing. You have a good laugh, you know. And that's what Roy used to do. Roy used to take us paint bowling and obstacle courses. I mean, he used to take us in the worst time of the year. And, you know,
he's not going to take you a nice summer.
He used to take us in a freezing cold, like, you know. But it used to be a good laugh. Because what happened is that the paint bowl is so hard that in the winter it's even more hard. So when you get hit with it, it's absolute. By the time you, at the end of the day, you
did he used to play?
Yeah.
I bet he did.
You black it. Yeah, you love those things. Because it's all team obstacle courses. Yeah. You have to work together to build, do certain things, and you have to listen, trust me, the kind of things that happen. So people, in that aspect of it, it's good for team morale and bonding and stuff. So, because when you go back into the changing room, you have a good laugh the next day. Because all the guys showing your bruise on your fingers and your neck, you know. So it was good in that way. But at one stage, when you have too many young guys in your team who just want to, from training, go home, Xbox, PlayStation, go and see their birds, go to the movies and not socialise, not stay in the changing room or stay in the dining room, have a meal, have a laugh, and it's just everyone. I mean, I used to do it at one stage. I used to shoot off, but I know the reason why I'm going. Obviously, I'm a family guy, so obviously I have to go and obviously pick the kids up from school or something. But some of these younger guys just show up and they're just like,
go on.
Before some of the senior players even have a shower, they're out the front gate.
Well, they could be halfway through a FIFA 18 season.
Exactly. So I know. So you know. So it was one of those things that you have to try to control as managers, trying to control, steady the ship, control young players, do certain things at the disposal. So it was like, you know.
Now you said you went to the Derby County game originally, so we're back in the present with Ipswich Town. Made a cracking start to the season, Carlos. I mean, they were. they beat your old, because of course you went to Millwall for a little while, Millwall 4-3 in the cracker at the start of the season. Things were going really well for Ipswich. Last sort of month has just petered off a little bit, which is a shame. But you know Mick McCarthy well enough.
Obviously know the guy for a while. Obviously always put a smile on my face every time I see him.
He's a good man manager, isn't he?
He's a good man manager. Yeah, him and TC is two peas in a pot. You know, they complement each other that way. You know, they work hand in hand, you know, in certain things. How to say, it's, you know, as I say, even at this stage of the season, I mean, at the disposal, what he has at his disposal, it's good, it's not bad, it's not the worst, but I still think the lads and they could do a bit better. I don't know if it is that the gaffer is picking his starting 11 based on, maybe obviously you do pick your players based on training and stuff, because you know, in certain things, but then when it comes to crucial games, when you really need points and stuff, especially at home, I think that he would need to maybe go a bit, you know, be a bit more brave.
Yeah.
You know, take games, especially at home. Take the game at the neck and take the bull by the horn and have a go. At least I think the fans and they may be a bit more understanding, because I mean, to be fair, it wasn't the best that they had. I don't think they had one shot on target against Derby.
Didn't at the weekend either. Gone at the weekend.
If I could recall. But then you thinking, I don't know. Obviously, we don't know what's going up in the board. Obviously, he could be knocking on the chairman's door to say, "I need a few quid to bring in reinforcements or something." The chairman might be tight pocket, saying, "Oh, I can't really right now." But still, you can. I think he has a good enough squad. I mean, obviously, a few injuries.
Injuries have been a bit of a killer.
Yeah, it's a bit of a killer sometimes. It is a bit of a killer when you're thinking you're going to get a momentum going. And but I think what Mick needs to do now, for me, when he first came, is be that force that is hard to beat. You know, if we don't score, you don't score. And I think it's too easy. Like, the goals that they're conceding and the chances that they're allowing teams to have, it's a bit too easy. It's not Mick. Excuse me. It's not Mick. So I'm thinking, what next? That's the question that's going to, a lot of people is going to be asking, what next? What is there to look forward to in 2018 for the remainder of this season? Because you cannot continue the way that they're going. When last they won a game?
December the 16th.
So it's like you win, draw, lose, draw, lose, 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 win. So it's the inconsistency is a bit, you know, it's not there. So, but as I said before, these players need to roll their sleeves up. These players need to take responsibility for, regardless of what. It makes no sense, obviously. You're coming out there. Ipswich is one of the most loyal clubs I've played with, considering fans coming out. Because me, I would love to come pay my money to see attractive football. No, that don't say I'm coming to see attractive football and you're going to lose every bloody week.
No.
You know? But at least, you know, entertain. That's you know, you want to see at least the guys trying and stuff like, and you know, put yourself above. What that club is missing right now, and looking back at the years back before me, they had a lot of personalities in that in the Ipswich squads and stuff. You look back at the teams. You had the Hollands and you had the Marcus Stewarts and you had the Rufus and you had the, you know, you had these guys and even guys before.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, when you look out there, you only seen one leader, which is the captain. Why?
Mm.
Everybody, the captain's going to save
the
ship.
He's been told as a good captain as well. Yeah. A lot of fans like Luke Chambers,
He is. But why it should just be a sole responsibility? Yeah, why it should just be him? Listen, you're going to get a lot more respect when you're being vocal. If everyone has, and I mean, I'm saying everyone, but one or two other guys on the pitch saying, listen, come on. And you're going to see the whole, everybody's just start shaping up. Because if I'm next to you and I'm like, if I'm going out on a team and I'm thinking, I'm like, Mike, in my mind, I'm saying, Mike, I'm already not comfortable with you next to me this weekend. Like, you know, I'm not.
That was the story of my football career.
I know. So I'm not like, you have doubts in your head already. Like, no, Mike is a bit dodgy. This guy's going to run past him, like, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be covering his tail every time. So they alone, you're defeating. You don't have trust in your own teammate. No. Because you're already concentrating on him. I'm concentrating on you. Yeah. So my game is out of my head.
Yeah.
So I'm concentrating on your game and not my game. So that's one less player we have there already. Mm. So I think the guys, and they need to, you know, in that way, come together.
Mm.
I don't know if they do have, like, you know, a little team bonding. I think some of the guys get it a bit twisted. They think team bonding is just to go out and get pissed, you know, and just, you know, get drinks. You know what? Go and listen. I remember we used to play card roulette. We go for a meal, get your cards out, your bank cards out, put it in a hat, let one of the waitresses pick a card, and whoever cards comes out, you got to pay for the meal. I mean, at the time, when the guys didn't deal with silly money anyway, so, you know, maybe 300-400 quid wouldn't do them much, you know. That's maybe pocket change for some of them, but it's not about obviously the money. At the end of the day, you're not going to go silly and try to take the mick out of one guy's wages and just start ordering all kind of crap. But it's a good laugh. I mean, I ain't saying no, you can have one drink, but go out and have a meal, have a bit of banter, look, you know, do something, you know, for a change. Things are not going good on the pitch. Try to take that a little negative away and then go out and just, you know, reflect. Roll your sleeve up, come back out the next day and just, you know, start all over. Because obviously, I'm sure some of you might have a bad day in work or a bad week in work, and then you just want the weekend to come to just, you know, sit down and just go, thank God, you know. So that's what players need to do, but I don't think they look at it. They don't see the bigger picture.
Mm.
I think, yeah, things are not going good, and they just say, football. But no.
Just chill out.
Chill out, relax, you know.
What's Mick like when things aren't going so well? What's he like around the place when the place needs a lift?
He is calm. He is a calm manager. I think he's been around long enough to, you know, do certain things. But he is... When he's ready to raise his voice, he is. And when he do, you're thinking, oh, yeah, the gaffer's, you know, he means something. So it's good, you know, for the players. But the players just need to react, you know, in the way that... Because I can feel his frustration. I know, obviously, I see him. Obviously, you know when you're not... You're hearing certain things, and then when you see the individual and you're trying to analyse and you're looking at him in his face and you're thinking, oh, he's under pressure, you know. And when I saw him about a month ago, and I saw him, I was like, obviously I'm not going to say to him, oh, God, you look a bit stressed, you know. I think he knows that, but, you know, I'm not going to blunt it out, like, oh, God, I think you got a few extra grades in your head, like, you know. But he knows it. But I think he deals with it in a good way, you know. So
you enjoyed playing for him?
Yeah, I did. You know, even though sometimes I did want to strangle him. Obviously, it's because sometimes you're having a momentum in games, and then he calls you into the office. Every time he calls you into the office, it's like. The guys, and they used to call it the fish hook. Ah, you've been hooked. I was like, jeez. It's just like, he comes in and he's like, well, I'm going to change it up a bit today. And he's thinking, why? I'm ready to play. I'm eager to play. Why would you change it up? And I think I can remember a derby, obviously Derby County away, when I scored the injury time winner. I think the following game, he put me in the bench. And I'm thinking, are you serious? Like, why? Just leave me, let me play. I mean, if you start me and then you want to take me off after 60 centimeters, fine, but don't put me on the bench. Because for me, as an ex-player, that just kills me, because you put me on the bench and then you want to put me on for 10, 15 minutes. My head is already gone from the day before. So I don't want to play. I don't want to play because I'm still kicking myself. Like, and then what is going to kick yourself? I mean, you don't mind if you get like a little 30 minutes, 25 minutes, but when it comes down to 10 minutes, you're thinking, is he serious? Like, I mean, it happened to me, and I would be very honest with you. I wanted to just strangle him at some times, like thinking, you take me off from a starting 11, we're winning, won the game, and then you're giving me 10 minutes in the next game. What's the point? So, you know, but I can understand when you look at it. I mean, sometimes it works for him, sometimes it works against him. But as a player, you really don't. As a player, trust me, you're thinking, when you get substituted or you're not in the team from the week before, you're thinking you want the team to do worse. You know, I know some players are like that. Honestly, I've been with players like that. They are so negative, you're thinking, listen, I don't need to be around you because you're too negative. Right. You know, so it's a good laugh. You know, sometimes you do laugh about it, but you have to, like, roll your sleeve up as a senior player if players are being very negative in that way, to say, listen, we don't need it, or you don't need to show it. Right. You know, go home and you deal with whatever matters. Don't show it in the changing room, because you're not that player. You're not that type of individual. So when your body language changes, because you can tell a lot from someone's body language, when your attitude changes, the guys are they going to know. They know you're not a grumpy old troll. They know you're not a quiet player. Quiet person. So, you know, it's like that. When guys see me really quiet, they're thinking two things. Is Carlos all right? Is he, you know? I mean, I'm chirpy, I'm a bit talky, but I'm to myself. Yeah. I get along with everyone, but once I'm in my zone, just leave me, you know, just give me my space, you know, because I might just accidentally swing. Yeah. Nah. Yeah, so, but it's good. It's good in a way that, you know, I had that experience and I could obviously, you know, relate to other players if things like that happen. Or I can obviously tell them if things like that. Because you're going to have bad spells in your career where, you know, you're going to have the hump.
Good spell you did have though, Carlos, was World Cup.
Oh,
World
boy.
Cup, of course. And you played against...
England.
Against England.
2006? Yeah.
Was it 2006?
Germany, that one.
Germany.
I must confess, I'm hopeless with memory. My memory's hopeless. I don't know
what
the score was.
Yeah, 2006, Germany.
And the score was? What was it?
2-0, 2-0
to
England.
England.
Yeah.
And you played 90 minutes? Played the whole game? Yeah. Enjoy?
Yeah.
Whose shirt did you get at the end? Did you get a shirt? Did you buy
Ashley,
swaps?
Ashley Cole.
Swapped with Ashley?
Yeah.
Good.
Have that framed up.
Excellent.
Yeah.
One of your highlights of international football?
Boy, that's the biggest highlight.
Is it? Yeah.
You're thinking, like, you know.
Well, you played a lot of games for Trinidad.
Yeah.
90 caps. I mean, that's a lot of caps.
Yeah, I think it could be more than that.
Yeah. Wikipedia says 90. That's why you
should. So it must be 90.
Shouldn't trust Wikipedia.
Yeah, it could be about 97 or something like that. Yeah.
Obviously a highlight.
I stopped. Obviously, I could have done the 100, but I was just like, can't be bothered.
But you've been helping out recently as well.
Yeah, I did. Obviously, my ex-teammate, Dennis Lawrence, who's the manager now, obviously took over. And obviously told me that he wanted me to come on board because he thought that the team needed a bit of experience head. So, you know, I went on board. And the only reason why I actually stopped it, because obviously I had the bust up with the guy back in Trinidad from, you know, I stopped playing, and I told him, I said, listen, it makes no sense that it's unfair that if I'm not playing domestic football that you're going to be selecting me for the qualifiers. So I told him that, you know, just, you know, thanks for the opportunity to further the career. But
management in the future, Carlos, do you fancy that?
I'll never say no. You know, I love the coaching side of things, but you never know.
You hope to do a bit of coaching here in Ipswich. That's one of the reasons.
Yeah. And that's the main reason why I'm back here. Obviously, I want to get in. I want to give back something to the club, and I hope that they can give me the opportunity to, you know, to fulfil that. I know they're not going to turn it back on me, obviously, with Brian and you know, Richard Borum and these guys, and they could, you know, point me in the right direction. So,
I think you've got the personality for it, Carlos. I think the youngsters would love having you on board as a coach.
Boy, yeah, let's hope so.
There's a few ex-players up there coaching,
like
Alan Lee, Kieran.
Oh, yeah. Big Al is there. Titus is there. Kieran is there. So why not Carlos Edwards.
Should make the most of this experiences which have got around them, shouldn't they? Hundreds and hundreds of games between these guys.
Mm.
Great experience.
International experience, of course, among most of them as well.
I think it's only going to benefit the club. But this is just me speaking, because I don't... You're looking back at it, it's not much ex-players who's actually in... around the setup, so if they can add another one and myself, you know, just turn it over.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, look, Carlos, we look forward to seeing your plan for Woodbridge Town first, of course. I mean, hope you can get the Woodpeckers up to the Premier Division of the Thurlow Nun.
That'd be
one of your first objectives. It'd be great to see you coaching here as well, of course. Ipswich fans, as we said, you know, when I first did the story of you come back, I was inundated with great interest in you and how people enjoyed your time here.
Yep.
Great to catch up with you.
Not a problem.
Brilliant. Thank you for joining us. Mike, thank you. Carlos, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Of course, you can subscribe on iTunes and through our website as well. And we'll be back next week with another Kings of Anglia podcast.